Thank you, Pastor. You've seen me struggle through the last 14 months. You may think that I'm totally healed, but I'm still, my leg is only about 40% as strong as the other leg. And I can just tell you, I never was that strong to begin with anyway. But you guys have been faithful to pray. And one of the things that happened is that God reminded me of some truths. Over here, I know on this side, they were passing them out earlier. But I have a gift for you to express my appreciation for your prayers. In this walk that I have gone through, I've written a 30-day devotional about what I learned as I went through a hard time. And I've got it for you, and you can take an extra one to give it to someone, but I want you to take it and just dive into those words that God revealed to me, because prayer is a very important part of what's in this book. But today we're going to look at the importance of leadership. When it comes to leadership, the Bible is very clear of its importance. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory." This verse is often referred to when speaking about leadership, because it matters. It matters at home. It matters at school. It matters in business, and especially it matters in the church. But you know what's sad? Americans are concerned about leadership. In a U.S. News and Harris poll, over 75% of Americans said that leadership is in crisis in corporate America. Another poll showed that 40% of Americans believe that neither political party has strong leadership. Now, what's concerning about that is when that same question was asked in 2006, only 10% responded that we didn't have strong political leadership. That is a 300% increase. There is concern in America about leadership. It's important because it plays a critical role in achievement and success. And leaders are needed in every area of society, in families, in businesses, communities, in schools, in governments. Parents, grandparents, you are so crucial in providing leadership, in providing guidance, stability, and a sense of direction. You ensure the well-being and health of your family. Teachers, administrators, you're needed in schools to create a positive learning environment so students can achieve and schools can succeed. Leaders in the local level, city, state, governments, you're needed to address the community needs, to provide direction, to mobilize resources that are scarce so that we can have a stronger community. Now look, I'm going to hit everybody in this room this year right now. You ready? Leaders in business, from startups to the large corporations, you are essential in setting strategic direction, motivating employees, and improving performances. And now I'm coming to you guys. Students, you can be a leader. You are so important in the locker room, in the band room, in the classroom. You foster teamwork. You motivate others. You build a positive team culture. And you can ensure everybody understands their roles and their responsibilities through open communication. And finally, the church, Sunday school teachers, choir leaders, committee members, you are so essential to the church to fulfill its mission of providing spiritual guidance to this community, for discipling the people that God brings into our church, for maintaining unity, for sharing the gospel with our neighbors and the nations. Leadership is essential. Now, you can find 1,000 books on parenting and leadership. But we're going to the book of 1 Timothy. Now, if you're a first grader, you got a Bible. I looked it up. First graders, show your parents. It's on page 1,222. Now, I can't help the rest of you, okay? But first graders, go to page 1,222, and we're going to go to the book of 1 Timothy. We're going there because we don't go to books on parenting and leadership outside the Bible, because the Bible is our source for faith and practice. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to confess. We're going to take a little different approach today. Our pastor is the master of expository preaching. He is the best preacher I know. Expository preaching is when you go book by book, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, so that you get the full context of that book, okay? Since we're dealing with a topic, leadership, we're going to do differently. It's a different approach. Our pastor does it at times. It's called topical preaching. And what we do is we're going to the book of Timothy, and we're going to use many different scriptures. You're going to get your money's worth on scripture today, okay, from the book of Timothy. And what it's like, this is what I compare it to. I'm going to a field full of jewels, and I'm going to look for specific precious nuggets on leadership. There's no way I can exhaust the full amount of material in these passages, but we're going to look at leadership. And this is the truth that God has given me. Paul has written to Timothy to encourage him in his responsibilities of overseeing the church. The church was in Ephesus. And this is God's leadership manual for church organization, for administration. And here's the truth that he's given to me today. We can make a difference for Jesus. Okay. We're going to do this later on, so I'm going to get you ready to do it now. I want you to say it with me. Have we got it up there on the screen? I need it on the screen. Oh, well, maybe I'll get it on the screen. But I got faith in you guys. I know you can remember those few words. We can make a difference for Jesus. Say it now. We can make a difference for Jesus. Good. We're going to do that some more here in a minute. First, go to page 1,222. We can make a difference for Jesus by standing for truth. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. As I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attentions to myth and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. We can make a difference for Jesus by standing for truth. Paul urged Timothy to stay at the church in Ephesus, to stop the spread of false doctrine and heresies, because false doctrine did not lead to lives being transformed into the image of Jesus, but it led to the division of the church. It led to the hindering of the mission and the ministry of the church of taking the gospel to Ephesus and beyond. In contrast, Paul says that the goal of sound instruction is not intellectual speculation or self-promotion. But what is it? Love. This love is not mere sentimentality. It's an active, selfless commitment to God and others. And it's rooted in three spiritual qualities. First, a pure heart. See, the heart is the moral and spiritual center of our lives. And if we are going to love the church, Jesus, and others as we should, it has to be cleansed from sin. It has to be selfless. Its motivation must be the concern for others. If we're going to make a difference for Jesus by standing on truth, we've got to have a pure heart. We've got to have a good conscience. This means living morally upright. It's discerning good and evil. Living with integrity. You're going to hear that word a lot about leadership. Integrity. It's also about a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Faith that is genuine, rooted in God's revealed truth, in His Word, rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came to this earth from heaven to live the perfect life, die on the cross, and be resurrected so that we could have our sins forgiven. A sincere faith that moves from that belief to obedience. See, Christian leadership requires doctrinal purity. We have to be willing to confront error. We have to be willing to confront when things are said that are not true. Now, some of us run from confrontation. There are some things that are worth confronting in life. There are some things that are worth standing up for. And the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is worth us standing firm. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Be on alert, stand firm in the faith." Listen to this. "Act like men, be strong." We have no reason to act like a coward. And we can use discernment and discretion, but we can't be a coward. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. "So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us." Parents, you've got to stand up for what is right by grounding your homes in God's will and God's word. You've got a Bible. Make sure you pour that into your children. Also confront those things that they do when it's wrong. It means teaching your children biblical values and correcting wrong behavior in love. Business professionals, you've got to stand up for what is right. Refuse to compromise your integrity for profit or of advancement. Work from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. And I can tell you, you can succeed. Most of you may not know this. You think I've been here forever. I look like it. But I worked for Shaw Industries for 15 years. And the greatest compliment I ever had was when I was excused from going to the parties that others would go to because they knew I wouldn't be a part of it. That was the greatest compliment. Even though I received rewards there, being excused from behavior that wasn't consistent with my walk with Jesus, that was my greatest compliment I ever received. But students, you can stand up for what is right too by refusing to follow ideas or behavior that goes against God's truth. You're on the front lines, and we're praying for you every day because you are confronted with untruth probably more than anyone. Reject gossip, dishonesty, and harmful treads. Instead, focus on action that reflect love, integrity, and sincere faith. We can make a difference by Jesus by standing for truth. And we can make a difference for Jesus by being above reproach. Go to chapter 3, verse 1. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer. It is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeps his children under control with dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he be able to take care of the church of God? Paul outlines the qualifications for an overseer, a leader in the church. And this can be, I love it when things can be summed up briefly. And this can be summed up in three words. Be above reproach. A leader's character and conduct must be able to withstand scrutiny. This doesn't mean you're sinless, but you would be found blameless. A leader should be faithful in marriage, self-control, wise, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not violent, greedy, but gentle and peaceable. A good family manager, well respected both in the church and outside the church. And he mentions certain disqualifying notes. Shouldn't be given to drunkenness, violence, quarrelsome. See, a leader has to have self-control or come under the control of the Holy Spirit. It's another way of saying it. No attitude of self-interest. Nothing in their behavior that undermines moral authority. But see, these qualifications aren't just for pastors. They're for the followers of Jesus. 1 Peter 2:12 says, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. So behave in a way that they glorify God from the good you do. So parents, you need to live a life above reproach with integrity, modeling God's character both inside and outside the home. Lead your family with love, wisdom, and consistency. Manage your home in a way that fosters respect, obedience, and harmony. Business person, be above reproach. Be trustworthy in managing the resources your company has given you. Be free from greed, not driven by dishonest gain. Students, be above reproach. Avoid cheating and plagiarism or dishonesty in any form. Show self-control in speech, attitude, and behavior. Christian leaders, Sunday school teachers, choir members, deacons, be above reproach. It calls us to have a faithfulness, a wisdom, a self-control, sound teaching, gentle strength, and proven leadership here at the church and at home. It requires spiritual maturity, a clean public witness, and a heart devoted serving Christ over self. When we do that, we safeguard the testimony of the church. We foster trust within the church and set a witness in our community. We can make a difference for Jesus by being above reproach. We can make a difference for Jesus by being an example. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Now, you may be thinking, how is this verse any different from the previous verse? How is setting example any different than being above reproach? Well, I'm going to answer that question for you. Being above reproach means avoiding blame. Your behavior is clean, ethical, and without fault, but it's often focused on what you don't do, not doing wrong. Setting an example is proactive. It's about doing right in a way that inspires others. You're not avoiding bad behavior. You're demonstrating best behavior. Paul uses a word here, typos, which we get the word example or pattern from. And in the ancient world, it was used to describe a model to be imitated. For Timothy, this was not about outward performance, but about a life shaped by the gospel so fully that others could follow him, Timothy, confidently. He was setting an example. See, godly influence doesn't flow from age or position, but it flows from a relationship with Jesus, spiritual maturity, and consistent character. Jesus said this, Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Paul identifies five areas which we must set as example. Speech. Words reveal our heart. So Christian leaders, parents, avoid careless words. Conduct. Conduct. The way we live gives credibility to the way Jesus has impacted our life. Our behavior is often more persuasive than what we say. Love, agape love, it's deliberate sacrificial care for others that reflects God's own heart. It's more than emotion, it's service, it's patience, it's kindness. Even towards those who are difficult to love. You guys have been there before. I've been at one funeral, I'll be at another one tomorrow. And there's those family relationships that are sometimes difficult. But you know what? We are called as followers of Christ to rise above the occasion, take the high road, and be loving and kind. Faith, demonstrate action that is based on biblical truth. Demonstrate an unwavering confidence in God and purity. That's more than sexual integrity. It's purity of motive, purity in thought, purity in relationships. Our spiritual influence will not be measured by what we know, but our spiritual influence will be measured by what we do, the reflection of a life that glorifies Jesus. We can make a difference for Jesus by being an example. We can make a difference for Jesus by showing respect. Go to 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 and 2. "Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, the older woman as mothers, and the younger woman as sisters in all purity." Here in this passage, Paul gives some very practical advice. See, Timothy was a young man, and he was going to be the pastor of a congregation that was very diverse in age and genders. And showing respect was a key. Paul says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as if he were your father." Rebuke suggests a sharp verbal strike. Now, correction is necessary. In fact, y'all can do this. Y'all can come up here and correct me anytime you want, but just do it nicely. You're going to get a lot further with honey, all right? Older women are to be treated as mothers. It's incompatible to speak to your mother disrespectfully and follow Jesus. Younger men are to be treated as brothers, showing an equality, a mutual respect, a camaraderie. Younger women are to be treated with great respect, especially about purity. And it's about a lifestyle marked with holiness and self-control. See, you see how Paul describes the church? We're family. We're family. We're hurting together. We're supporting each other. Somebody asked me in this recent trip, I think, was this home. This is home because this is where family is. I'm from North Georgia. If you can't tell it, my eyes have probably given it away many times in my accent, okay? But this is home because this is where family is. And God is saying this is how we should treat one another. Parents, speak honorably when disagreeing. Work for collaboration rather than domination. Business professionals, offer constructive feedback with courtesy and humility. Don't be dismissive. Treat coworkers as teammates, not competitors, and give credit to others. Students, towards your teachers, I want to get some amens from teachers here. Show respect. Use respectful language. Keep your attitude humble. Students, it's easy to ignore the geek. I can testify to that. Be inclusive. Treat them as your equal. Love them as Christ has loved you. Show respect. See, respect is more than politeness. It's recognizing their worth in God's eyes. We can make a difference for Jesus by showing respect. And finally, we can make a difference for Jesus by living like Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. But those who want to get rich fall in temptation and a snare, in many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. These two verses are so important. But flee from these things. Flee from these things, young man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. See, here Paul warns Timothy about the dangers of greed and the love of money and calls him to pursue a life that reflects Jesus. And I mentioned I worked at Shaw Industries. I worked in several positions, and I became someone who was fascinated with process. And when you get to the Bible, look, there are certain processes that are in there. And this is an important process for spiritual growth. In fact, it's so important in the letter to Colossae, Colossians chapter 3, that's all Paul writes about, is this process right here. Fleeing and pursuing. Fleeing involves an intentional separation from the sins and value of the world, especially greed, pride, and selfishness. Look, and it's not passive avoidance. It's deliberate rejection. Pursuing, on the other hand, is an active, ongoing chase after virtues that reflect God's character. Both of these are necessary. You've got to turn away from sin and turn to Jesus. You can't turn away from sin and not move towards holiness, or it creates a spiritual vacuum. Pursuing goodness without renouncing sin leaves you vulnerable to compromise. You've got to do both. And here's the virtues that he says. Righteousness, be in right standing with God and his commandments. Godliness, be devoted to him in your, not just belief, but in action. And here he repeats too, okay? When my wife repeats something, I know that it's important and I'm probably in trouble, okay? But he repeats here, faith, a steadfast trust in God. Love, sacrificial service and benevolence towards others. And then perseverance, a steadfast endurance through trials, holding firm in faith even when you face opposition. And then gentleness, strength expressed with humility and compassion. This is a consistent pattern, fleeing and pursuing. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 24. That, in reference of your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of disease, of deceit. So flee. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And put on the new self, pursue. when in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Just as people chase success, recognition, or wealth, the followers of Jesus Christ must be known for pursuing holiness, trying to live like Him. And holiness is not merely avoiding wrongdoing, but it's about passionately seeking to be like Jesus. We can make a difference for Jesus. Okay, now, I kind of got you started earlier, so we're going to do it right now, okay? I want you, do you think we can have it on the screen? Maybe not. I've got confidence in you guys. We can make a difference for Jesus. You ready? Say it with me. We can make a difference from Jesus in every home from Houston Lovely to Collierville Arlington, from the Wolf River to the Mississippi line. We can make a difference from Jesus from Moscow to Marshall County. Say it with me now. We can make a difference for Jesus from the FedEx hub to the FedEx World Headquarters, from International Paper to the AutoZone. We can make a difference from Jesus in the small businesses and the corporate headquarters. Say it with me now. Very good. From Terra Oaks Elementary to Collierville High School, from West Collierville Middle School to Briarcrest, from Mississippi State to the University of Memphis, we can make a difference for Jesus when we stand firm, when we trust in Him. But guess what? We can't make a difference for Jesus until He's made a difference in us. We can't make a difference for Jesus until we realize that we're sinners. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We can't make a difference for Jesus until we understand the consequence of sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can't make a difference for Jesus until He makes a difference for us when we accept Him as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. We can't make a difference for Jesus until He makes a difference in us, and it begins in His followers when we obey Him. John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Obedience should be reflected in these truths from 1 Timothy, but let me tell you, it should be reflected in a lot of ways. It should be reflected in how you spend your time. Don't raise your hands, but I'm going to ask you a question. How many of us are too busy for God? We schedule every minute, every moment, and leave them out. Let me ask you another question. Is His lordship reflected in how you control your pocketbook? Are you spending your money on houses and cars and avoiding the tithe? Look, God owns it all. You know, all He asks for is just a little bit in return, so that you remember who is the Lord. Let me tell you, it's also reflected in how you spend your time. Are you setting or are you serving? I'm going to say that one more time, because we need more leaders. We need you to come up from those pews and get in the game. We need you to serve in preschool. We need you to serve in kids' ministry. We need you to serve in the student ministry. We need to see you serve in the choir. We need to see you serve because God calls you to service. He does not call you to sit. We can make a difference for Jesus only when He has made a difference in us. We can make a difference for Jesus by standing for truth, by being above reproach, by being an example, by showing others respect, by living like Jesus. But we can't make a difference for Jesus until he's made a difference in us. Our staff, our worship team is coming. And as they come, I'm going to ask you some questions. Has Jesus made a difference in your life? Maybe you need to come today and share with one of our staff members that you're aware of your sin and your separation, and you need to repent and believe. They'll introduce you to a volunteer who will take you out and help you with that most important decision. You may be visiting our church, and you can come to Discover CFBC, but guess what? There's a discount for joining the church today. Hey, it's time to quit sitting up there, and it's time to join the family. Or you may be someone who's dealing with a sin in their life. You can sit there with the Holy Spirit, the best counselor there is, and deal with that. Repent of that sin if you're a follower. Or come down here and pray with one of our staff. Let's pray. Father, you are great and you are good. You are holy, you are mighty. And Lord, thank you that you have made a difference in many of these people's life. Thank you for making a difference in my life on May 16th, 1965, when as a young boy I heard the gospel of Jesus, how he lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and was resurrected so that I could be adopted in your family and my sins forgiven. Lord, we come to you today and say, we want you to continue to make a difference in our life. Use your word and the Holy Spirit to make us more like Jesus so that we can make a difference for you. But right now, Lord, let us listen to the Holy Spirit and not grieve him. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen. If you'll please stand.